Hello, everyone. This is Kathleen Francis, your host of Wise Women. And we're very, very excited this beautiful day to include someone from Sedona, Arizona, who is currently running for mayor. And she's an unlikely candidate, I would suggest. And of course, I've been here in the area for 25 years myself, have been very involved with the businesses here. And I have been partners in various businesses with some of the top people in the tourist industry and so on. And I've watched the changes the 25 years I've been here. And certainly this young lady has seen the same. Her name is Samira Armstrong. I've sort of got it. And she has an interesting background that we'll talk about. And so with that said, may we please welcome Ms. Armstrong, who is the candidate running for mayor of Sedona. Welcome.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you for having me. This is
my
such
pleasure.
A joy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, as long as we're starting, tell us a little bit about your name, because I know you said that even your parents actually mispronounced it.
Oh, sure. So allegedly it's Gaelic. My dad found it in a novel while my mother was pregnant. It was sort of a Conan and the Barbarian type of books. And Samira was the heroine in the movie. She was a warrior princess. And but because of how it's spelt, they thought it was Samair. Until a Scottish friend of theirs, I think I was 3 months old, said, no, that's not actually how you pronounce that name. It's Samira or Samira. It depends on the inflection. Like if I'm in trouble, my mom says Samira. So it, you know, it's very confusing. But so yeah, it's been a interesting evolution of sorts. People have called me their own variations from the dawn.
I'm sure they will.
So, yeah.
But with this upcoming election, Samira, it should be pronounced well. And your parents, you have very interesting parents who brought you to this into this world. Born in Japan, correct?
Yes. So my parents are both essentially from Southern California. They met in Hawaii and then had me in Japan. We traveled around quite a bit in my youth, spending five years in Japan, around the States, Humboldt County, Palm Desert, Hawaii, 5 years. And then when it was time for high school, we moved to Sedona because there was a brand new school that was being built here. Of course, Sedona Red Rock High School. It was the first year that it was built. It was my first year and it was being built around us. And we came here to build roots, which, you know, for the first 12 years of my life, if that math adds up, I didn't have. We were definitely rolling stones, so to speak. And my parents and I moved out here in 1994, and they've been here ever since. I left after 4 years in high school and then a year at Tucson for U of A. I went out to California for 2 decades. And at the beginning of 2021, I came back to be with my family and my community.
Well, we share the entertainment background that we both have.
Yes.
And I can tell you that for you, you're like a hometown girl from Sedona who went to Hollywood and made it.
Yes.
And I can certainly attest to the fact that that endeavor in itself is something that is monumental. Within 1 year, you were already a working actress, which is no small accomplishment at all. Because, you know, I, again, coming from my background, I know the difficulties that one faces in trying to make that wonderful entry into the entertainment industry. And, you know, I've talked to certain people about you, and, you know, I was in Whole Foods the other day and mentioned you. I was trying to kind of get a feel for what people feel about you running for mayor, and immediately said, oh, I saw her in the X-Files, you know. So, it's, you know, you have, I think, a little bit of a fan base that doesn't hurt.
Yeah, the exciting thing is that, Sedona's always been about the arts and about the culture and about performance. So I had a whole community around me in high school. The parents of my friends would come see my plays. They knew that I wanted to be an actress. They supported my endeavors entirely. They came to every performance. And, then when I went off to California, it was like the obvious next step. And it was still that community support that I felt very confident in pursuing my dreams because of this community backing that I had, really, that stayed with me my entire career.
Oh, that's wonderful. And that's
Yeah.
wonderful to know. And it does make a big
Oh,
difference.
huge, huge difference. That's, one of the bigger points of my running is this essence of bringing community together to for our every generation, from our youth to our elders. There's so much support in having that structure around us to be the baseline for our dreams, so to speak, in whatever regard that means. I mean, it's like oftentimes we look at, oh, this is our childhood dreams. Dreams come into our field at any age, so we're always reaching for the stars. Even now, obviously, I'm running for mayor, and the support of my community is really propelling me forward to pursue this.
Well, yes, and I mean you were in Entourage, The Mentalist, Grey's Anatomy. You had 56 television shows and films to your credit, and I can tell you that's monumental,
Oh,
very,
thank
very
you.
impressive. And so I would ask you, with that kind of base in your entertainment industry, why would you want to get into politics?
Yeah, I definitely. I think the key word you said is want to, and I certainly don't have a desire to, the way I had a desire to get into acting, but I do have a strong desire to support my community and to, in the context of what's gone on in the world in the last few years, and it occurred to me so drastically how important local politics and local community is. And being that we're only 9,763 or something like that residents in this town, and my family's been here for 28 years, just as long as you, right? The friends I grew up with, they're back, their family. I mean, we've got these generations here. It's our responsibility to maintain the structure and the ability for us to thrive. Otherwise, we'll be bulldozed by the modern concept, and this is just my opinion, my perception, but the modern concept of how things operate, in that there tends to be a lack of consciousness, maybe like this more is better, bigger is better, outside in solutions versus people from the inside understanding in our community what it is exactly we need, rather than being told by, say, the federal government or the state government what our solutions should be. And even now, there's a bigger sweep to sort of this world economic structure. And, that might be applicable to bigger cities, port cities, but we're a small rural community in the middle of Arizona, where we attract an international level of visitation, of course. But in terms of what it is that we need to thrive in this very specific landscape, it cannot come from outside in. And I'm not saying that we won't take ideas and, cherry pick solutions, but really where the metrics and data needs to be determined from here, rather than, well, this worked out here, let's just copy and paste and put it here. And so, and that's something that appeals to me. I feel like I'm a warrior in many ways for my community. And I was looking around and I saw that there wasn't really anyone with that sort of consciousness that I felt representing us. I was pretty disappointed with how the council has been going for the last 8 years. So council members stay on council for 8 years, often get reelected, and mayors have a 2-year commitment. So our current mayor has been on council for 8 years. She's been reelected 4 times. Our current vice mayor has been on council for 8 years. He's been elected twice. So there's sort of this way of operation that systematically has been patternized into our local government. And so a lot, it's funny, one of the token taglines seems to be, and it's a community joke at this point, is like, well, we cannot because, you know, we can't do this and this is why, you know. And I think that's for a community that is so enlightened, so self-aware, and, you know, we're a conscious community. So to hear that for us is like so foreign, because the way we think is in terms of solutions. So we identify the problem, this exists, okay, now let's find a solution for it. So it's the contrasting experience of knowing what you don't want to know what you do want, and then knowing that the possibility for a solution is at the other end of your imagination. So we can hear over and over again why it hasn't worked for you. Now it's time for us to give it a try and bring in new ideas and vibrations to this opportunity to create a solution that is tangible.
That's well spoken. And basically, you know, Sedona has been held, as you've said, the jewel of Arizona. Yep. And it is considered a spiritual center,
yes,
even for the whole planet. Mm-hmm. And for the solutions to be brought to the table in a consciousness that you're indicating you prefer to address it with, seems a more appropriate way to open into, you know, the hearts and minds of the residents and the people that come to visit. It's a difficult task as mayor, because there's always the issue between residents and tourism. Yes. And the challenges that exist.
And I think that a lot of people here, while they may not love the responsibility, but, you know, it is a trade-off, and it is a responsibility to hold that vibration high enough to understand that people come here and want some sort of route to enlightenment, or route to the divine. And we're part of that stewardship and that shepherding process. So it's our responsibility as locals to create the space for when visitors do come, we can share it appropriately. And it's not just, pardon for being so dramatic, but raped and pillaged. You know, there's mm-hmm. a way to tend to it. And I think that's possible. And it's very telling that words like sacred land seem to be so unusual in the political realm, in
yes.
terms of being spoken. People said, oh my God, I've never heard a politician say that. Like, first of all, I'm not a politician, you know, for one, but also it's imperative that we understand what this land is. And I think so many people do, and that's why they come. They don't just come because it's a pretty shade of red. There's something significant going on here. And so we need to bring that and incorporate that into our local politics. And from there, that's kind of just the crack in the window that lets the light in for so many other possibilities. Because quite frankly, wouldn't it be great if we brought the divine sacredness into other aspects, not just Sedona, say Yuma, say Prescott, you know, or Cottonwood and Flagstaff and Jerome, and we have that ability to sort of shift consciousness in that way all around. And I feel like my most exciting point that I can contribute is the sort of aspect of balance. So, you know, we live in these the scale of balancing sort of the three-dimensional matrix with this conscious realm and this very tangible capitalist realm. And then there's also the community of volunteerism that, you know, and I have a perspective that I think is unique in that way, that I understand that it needs to make money, it needs to make sense, it needs to be conscious, it needs to be, you know, sustainable in the long run. And so that's just something that excites me. I've always wanted to be an actress because I wanted to be a part of the social consciousness and development of morale and perseverance, sort of sowing this idea of virtues, I don't know if virtue is the right word, but character into society. That's what has excited me. When I watch something, I want to be like, I want to be that character. I want to be scared, but continue to push through something because, you know, I saw that it was capable in that film, and I can become stronger from going through this contrasting experience that scares the bejesus out of me. And on the other side, like, I've grown from it. And I feel like, just in terms of how even social media works nowadays, our awareness is focused on something, not just on television anymore. These stories in our real life are as meaningful as, you know, film once was, and maybe before film too. You know, that's how it used to be. We've got these historically relevant characters that have sort of taken our morale of society in a direction that leads to, like, the great American stories and whatnot. And I think for me, I can experience that through persevering through this process. This is so daunting. I've never done anything like this before. I mean, all the scary thoughts that, you know, I hear that people try to tell me why I shouldn't do it. And I'm still going to push through. And I hope that that would inspire other people to do the same. And I'll be the first to say, like, this is not something I ever, quote unquote, wanted to do. It's not a walk in the park, but I believe, and this is something that my parents really raised me on, is when you walk through the fire, you will be tempered in a way that you wouldn't have been on at the beginning, right? You will come out stronger for it. Your community will come out stronger for it. And it's a responsibility, a duty. It's purpose. And what else do we want in life but to know our purpose? And that, of course, also is evolving and changing. And so it's not like I'm hanging my hat on running for mayor, but at this point in time, it seems like a pivotal point in Sedona to look. I moved here so that my son could have a beautiful quality of life. And if that move was a moot point because we relinquished control to the unconscious people who are, you know, doing the right thing in their minds, but doesn't really pan out for the rest of our beautiful community, then that will have been a waste. And I think it's worth fighting for.
Well, you know, one of the difficulties always, now I teach acting. I was blessed to have been trained by some of the most extraordinary world-class teachers when I was very young in New York City. And I have taught many children, which I thoroughly enjoy. And my wonderful gift of being able to teach is to see the people of any age and bring out that part of themselves that you're talking about. And I still have a clip of one of my my children's classes, and I say, okay, I said to him, I should show that clip to you. I said, okay, what are we really doing here? And I said, now what are we really doing here? And they all jointly said, we're here to make a difference.
Oh my God.
That's why I teach them. Yeah, we're here to make a difference. And then one of my prize students said, well, we're here to make a positive difference. It's so cute. I must share that with you.
Yes, please.
Yeah.
And
because
what a beautiful thing to embed into these children's consciousness. Yes.
Yes. Yes, ma'am. And some of them could barely speak when they came to my class.
Wow.
They stuttered and were so afraid to get up and perform at all. So these are things. And, you know, it's like, I think one of the things that might be an issue is people think of people in the entertainment industry as flighty or not substantial. And, you know, that's why in my classes, I always say, you know, whatever role when you take someone's time and attention to be in a play, to be in a movie, in a TV show or a podcast, you know, you want to honor them with the best of who you are. Mm-hmm. And to know that you have their attention and you therefore have an influence over them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think I'm hearing you say that your passion here is to take a stand for what you believe in. And of course, your opponent feels the same way.
Sure.
In his consciousness, he thinks he's doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. As you know, I don't know, I can't say. There are some pretty evil people out there that we're dealing with.
Right. Yeah.
I don't think your opponent is evil.
No.
thankfully, I hope that that has not penetrated our beautiful community yet, but we all know that there are agendas that are designed for anything but our well-being. And so on a level of the community that we're at, on the community level of city politics, those things that are wanting to come in and interfere with the basic goodness of people are hammering at our doors. Now, you and I left from California as well, like you did. You saw the things that can go wrong. Mm-hmm. And that backdrop of what you're about to enter into, should you be elected, to me, it seems a valuable backdrop to say, let's not do this because this could happen. Do you think that's correct from what I'm speaking?
Yes, that's completely accurate. I saw in 20 years, California policy be voted on from the sweetest, kindest place in people's hearts, completely destroy local cities, cities and towns. And, you know, and it's really hard to say, you know, like to your point, is it intentional? Is it, you know, well-intended or is it malicious? It's hard to say, but it is what it is. And you can see it if you walk through the process. If you've in some worlds, they call play the tape out. So how will this, how it sounds good now, but how will it end up? And what will be the potential positive or negative repercussions of this vote or policy? And that's why I keep hammering so hard on these policies that seem to replicate things out of bigger cities. And there's a word that sort of gets tossed around from time to time within city management. And in particular, someone spoke to about on the community developer planning, who's no longer there. He left recently, but you know, urbanization, there's opportunity for urbanization, and urbanization is fine in the appropriate urban environment. We are not that. And I think, you know, and this is speaking from people who, from the consciousness of people who want to visit, they're leaving urbanization, right? Visitors are coming out to feel this rural community. And I know it's a city, it was once a town, we're now incorporated, but we're still rural. We've got a little bit of an edge left. People come to this environment for that edge. And I'm so sad, my friend's visiting me from Los Angeles right now. Well, she's actually visiting Sedona. She didn't come to see me. She came to see Sedona. And she's like, well, what do I do here? Everything's so expensive. And, you know, that's the thing. We have to balance that unique, untamable charm with the development of modernization, which we all really love. And, you know, there's got a little bit of rogue left. And that's the organicness of what is sacred in Sedona. We can't polish all of the edges. So that's what it is. And policies in particular, people say over and over again, I'm not political. I don't like politics. You might not like politics, but you like your quality of life a certain particular.
There it is.
You move out here for a reason, and that will drastically change depending on who is on council in Sedona, because more sidewalks will lead to less parking on the streets, will lead to more parking lots, because then suddenly people don't know, you know, there's nowhere to go, but they we're not stopping the people. So now we need to develop parking lots. And now we've paved, as Joni Mitchell says, we've paved paradise and put up a parking lot.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, I have a shop myself and tourists come in. I talk to them all the time. And of course, again, having been here for 25 years, I've seen the extraordinary changes. And invariably, you know, people who, and many people have come here, you know, who this is, they were here 10, 20 years before, and they see the shock of the changes. And of course, Uptown has become, as they say, their feedback is it's so commercial and there's no, you know, it's just, it's kind of, you know, the gift of what Sedona was, the difficulty there on the spiritual level is, of course, because of the beauty and because of the spiritual connection and all of the aspects of, you know, weddings and healings and all of these things that Sedona is known for. And then, of course, the development came in and inevitably made those changes that are currently there. And I think that this particular juncture that we are in at the moment, these decisions, policy decisions and political decisions with regard to what will be the next couple of years, even the next couple of years, mm-hmm. in this very tenuous time in our entire global condition, are critical to really review from a place that requires not a competition, but a cooperation. Between, you know, I mean, of course, some of my dear friends are big developers. Mm-hmm. And of course, their investment has to come back to them.
Yes.
And a lot of them, lot of them are losing money and have lost enormous amounts of money thanks to some of the globalist agendas that we won't get into right now. But, you know, by the same token, I know you keep talking about the balance.
The balance
is very necessary.
And I think, you know, people can excuse a rural community that is slightly dysfunctional as charming. But people have a hard time excusing a once rural community that's now overly developed by infrastructure that doesn't quite make sense and is no longer charming. So I was sitting in Uptown eating with my son, and I heard a couple tourists saying, had I known Sedona was this junky, I wouldn't have lived here. And, you know, it breaks my heart.
I hear those things. Those are so valuable to overhear.
Yes, and it's not because of the small businesses or even the bigger businesses, because a lot of the development that we have in here are pushed to being considerate of its surroundings, and that we don't have many big box stores. So, but it's that, like, you know, I hate to say it, but the solutions that the city has provided seem to be a little bit lacking consciousness, and whether it be that middle the middle divider or the meters, you know, it's like you just feel it. It starts to feel like you're in a rat trap, you know, a maze of sorts.
Correct.
Someone
complained about a ticket that they got because they didn't know they were parked in the wrong place. Are the things that I hear from people who are visitors.
And you know, I think that, again, it goes back to like a different sort of consciousness inside of the council. When we got super, how do I say this? It's not, the word's not professional, but it's a different mindset. It's bureaucratic, because before we had people on council who were of this community, they had been here for a while, a long time. They came for the purpose of this ruggedness. You know, Sedona's rugged. It's hot. It can be uncomfortable. It's a spiritual perseverance every day. You know, whatever you're going through, it's heightened essence of vibration. That's so, like, it's not just a bad day. It's a spiritually intense day. You know, so you can't just bring in these policies of a bureaucratic demand that would possibly fit a different city. You have to have people who are consciousness to contemplate, hold on, let's not operate off of this hysterical outrage at this moment, because, you know, Sedona has an issue and there's hysteria. And then if the city immediately responds to the hysteria of the moment, creating permanent solutions, that moment is over, and now we've created a solution to a temporary problem that's only going to create more problems down the line. And mm-hmm. so having that wherewithal to be able to withstand the burn of the instantaneous hysteria, which we have a lot of, and be like, pause, let's leave room for miracle. Let's contemplate this thoroughly, be heart-centered, and figure out a solution. Is this necessary to act on now? Can we wait it out? Can we think to the future of what will happen if we do wait it out, or if we do act on it? These are conversations that need to be contemplated. But if you go to the council meeting, thoughts like this are not being exchanged. It's we're hearing this squeaky wheel. Everyone's freaking out. We need the solution now. This is what we're going to do. And it's a lot of pressure. I understand that, but you have to have the wherewithal to withstand the pressure. And I think that's another thing that I can contribute on council is that, you know, a lot of people get upset, like, you're not liked, you know, you're not going to be liked in there. You know, one day you're the favorite and the next day they hate you. But my manager in Hollywood always said, if you believe the bad press, if you believe the good press, then you have to believe the bad press too.
Mm.
So being able to withstand and be that sort of pillar in that chaos, which will inevitably occur, especially in a city that can all of a sudden be flooded with three times as many tourists as there are residents. That's going to happen. So, you know, keeping the eye on the tiger, so to speak, and being goal oriented and not making decisions based on pressure, but based on consciousness.
Mm-hmm. Now, you were trained by your father. Would you speak a little bit, speaking of your warriorship,
sure,
what it is that your father taught you? What is this form of discipline?
My father's in a study of anthropology, studying combative behavior, man's mind in the midst of combat. So he's traveled the world, learning from various, at the time, it's hard to find now, but, you know, in his youth, untainted cultures who haven't been exposed to modernization and how they pass down their traditional sword fighting, battle fighting, or martial arts. So at five, I became his training partner in a traditional battlefield Japanese sword training. This was in Nagoya, Japan. And we were adopted into a Japanese family and sort of passed down this lineage. So I've been training in this particular tradition for, you know, I guess I'm 41 years old now, so whatever that math is, for quite a while. And there's a life preserving and life taking sword consciousness. So this consciousness of like, we got to fight everything. And then the consciousness of maybe we don't even need to make the fight, you know, maybe the fight doesn't need to occur. And so I've been trying to, and it's challenging, of course, because I'm a Scorpio. I don't know if that means anything to anyone, but I'm very fiery. So, but you know, the idea of like when to strategize and contemplate and hold back and when to push forward. And I'm still figuring that out, of course, but I guess the archetype of who I am at my core, I can't shake the warrior out of me. And I have a great regard for my community and a great commitment to it. It's been embedded to me that I have a duty and a responsibility. So it'd be like, you know, I can't do without air. I cannot do without that in my consciousness also.
And that's a beautiful thing to express because right now I think, you know, Marianne Williamson talks on some of her videos how important every single one of us are right now. And she's calling forth the feminine, all of the women in the planet to take a stand and be a stand for what needs to happen mm-hmm. on a small level and a global level.
Yeah.
And who knows, you know, what it is that we might all have an impact toward.
Yeah.
And certainly as mayor of Sedona, the people that come here, you might never know the impact that you have on a global level simply because this is a hub where people come from all over the world. And it does make a difference. And it's sad, I think, and I think this is true, you know, regardless of who wins the mayor position, is that right now, you know, our spiritual necessities are critical for all of us. And when people come to Sedona with that in mind, and if they feel that Sedona has become so commercialized,
yes,
that's lost the very essence of why they came.
Right, right.
That's very difficult. And it's something that should be spoken about.
Yes.
Because, you know, I think that that's sometimes missing in the business arena and in the political system of even on a small level, that somehow the importance of consciousness, it cannot be lost in this battle that we face, where, you know, things are on the table and there are opposing points of view. Instead, the context of what Sedona is really all about, not only meaning in this community, but what Sedona means to the world. And if that's lost, I think that's something that would be very sad. And I think that with your background of your warriorship, that's needed. And I have seen you in action. And I was very
Yes, that's
impressed.
right.
You know, if you want to stand up for something, I certainly saw it in another interview that we did. And I thought that was brave of you. And I've also, I've watched some of the interviews that you had that are online, and, you know, where the comments underneath where people make comments. And I saw all these No Name 66 and initials, people not, you know, my name when I make a comment shows up. And so I asked my friend, who is very politically involved, he's David Miller, he's an investment banker, and he's very, very involved with understanding what's going on. I said, you know, and I said it annoyed me. They were making these negative comments about you, and I kind of retorted, but my name showed up, and why didn't his? And he said, well, those are bots. I didn't even know about bots.
Oh, yes.
I mean, how that's that should be outlawed. How should there be bots? I mean, I hardly even know what those are, but they're coming out making negative comments when they're not even a person.
Yeah, can you believe we're not just fighting human beings anymore? We're literally
Oh
fighting bots.
my God. I mean, I couldn't even believe it. And I mean, and some talk about, you know, the whole system of the disinformation. And I mean, oh, I most certainly suggest you listen to Gary's show every day, because it's daunting, the experts that Gary Null has on his show that address these extraordinary things that we find ourselves in the midst of. And I will say that I, again, it sounds like I hang out at Whole Foods all the time, but I went to have the new, you know, they have the new coffee barista, and
Oh, great. Oh,
and
it's open.
there was a lovely woman by the name of Jill, and you know, I can't help myself. I connect with people, you know, and she just moved here from California. And she was involved with real estate primarily, but she, like so many people, moved here because of her children being here.
Yes. Oh my goodness. It's such a blessing to have people come from these cities and know what it was like and not
That's just what I was going to tell you.
contaminated.
She said, oh my God, I hope people realize it can happen here. It
Oh
can
my gosh.
happen here.
And that's, the one blessing of this these last 2 years is that sifting and sorting process of people who are like, oh no, this is not the existence I want. That's where I want to live. That's where I want to build roots. That's where I want my family. And I feel this guardianship around Sedona being
There you
built
go.
from people who have made the great exodus from these cities and these coastal states, right? And are now
Yes.
coming here to preserve what they came to invest in with their hearts and
Exactly.
homes.
Exactly. You know, and it's like, you know, I teach my acting class at the Sedona Conscious Living Retreat Center, and Sonia is the one who is the head. She heads it up with, you know, Surreal Chiozza. Of course, he and John Bradshaw have so many of the tour companies, and they have Airbnbs and so on and so forth. But, you know, I really do feel that Surreal and Sonia are people of consciousness. I do.
Well, and John Bradshaw too, he was on the council for a while here in Sedona before it went off the roller coaster. And he's also been a coach for our football team here at the high school. And these are
There,
people
yeah.
who have, you know,
Born and
have
raised.
two purposes. They care about Sedona. And also from a business standpoint, they want to preserve what Sedona is supposed to be so they continue to have a thriving business. So, you know, so
There
that's
it
something
is.
That we need to think of. To consider that a lot of these businesses do have the highest interest. It's not about just making a profit model. They understand the need, the necessity to maintain what is sacred so that they
Yes.
can have industry.
Yes. Industry appropriate
Right.
for the community.
Right.
What doesn't seem to be right. I mean, you know, Cyril and Sonia have, and John have, you know, they have Airbnbs, but they live here. They have businesses here. But I think for people outside, out of the state, for them to buy up homes and turn them into their little profit center when
yeah,
they don't
yeah,
even
really
live
sad.
here,
Yeah.
there's,
Yeah.
I don't know how that could be, you know, fixed, but it doesn't seem right. And it
Yeah.
seems difficult to have any kind of regulation of that. And yet, you know, again, as you know, the problem for housing for people, you know, it's like we have this tourist industry. Well, so many people are employees for these services, and they have no place
Right,
to live.
right.
Which I know I watched your debate with Scott Jablow, and you know, the possible plans could be damaging to
Yeah, we don't.
the
So we're in a
community,
crisis. And so this is part of that reacting to crisis in a way that could potentially lead to more problems. So part of the idea is to build a part of the city. City Council has approved in the industrial area, which is on Shelby, 4-story apartments. And so, you know, historically, Sedona has always been at 2-story limit.
Yes.
And so, and the density is now shifting. You can, if it fits, you can build it essentially for apartments. And then also they'll be bringing in HUD, which is Housing and Urban Development Federal Funding. I mean, this is all just so not okay for the ethos of Sedona. It changes everything drastically. I am all for housing that is affordable. I very much believe that there are ways that we can set up with investors, private investors, buying the land and then leasing the land for properties on it so that the cost is down. You're not paying for the land, you're just paying for the house. I mean, there's ways around this. I'd even go as far as to consider Sedona having property and leasing the land for very cheap to the developer. You know, there's ways around avoiding federal funding, which
yes.
is imperative in my mind. That's the last entity that we would want in our city right now.
Well, creative thinking, and this is something that I have the privilege, some of my close associates who are brilliant,
yes,
have the capacity to think outside of the box.
That's
and
it
you
right
keep
there.
Talking about creative thinking,
mm-hmm.
and
Mm-hmm.
that's it's possible,
mm-hmm.
if people have the will to do so.
Yes.
I mean, even in Cottonwood, I mean, so many people live in Cottonwood and work in Sedona.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it makes me laugh, and I'm sure you agree. Those of us coming from LA,
oh, I know.
We laugh with a 15-minute drive.
Oh my
it's
gosh.
Hysterical.
I know.
You don't want to drive 15 minutes to, yeah.
I know.
You're lucky if you can go anywhere in 45 minutes to
not
an hour.
The grocery store is not even 15 minutes away.
Telling you, it makes me laugh, and I know you
yeah.
and I can share these
yeah.
moments
yeah.
of you know, giggle
yeah.
because you know, okay, but
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
certainly the opportunities, you know, the new freeway that they
yeah.
built between
yeah.
Cottonwood and Sedona is completely accessible,
right? Right.
And,
right. Right. When we first moved here, it was 35, 40 minutes to Cottonwood. Now it's 15, 20, you know, depending on traffic.
15 minutes,
so,
that's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. So, I mean, there are lots of solutions that can be entertained,
mm-hmm.
You know, when a creative mind wants to go, you have to think outside of the box, which is not easy. And so sometimes someone who is not a politician,
mm-hmm.
Can have that capacity to do so,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I think that, you know, of course, this is Wise Women, and Scott can't come on the show because he's the wrong gender. You know, and I know having interviewed him for another podcast, another channel, I know that his heart is in the right place. I think that both of you have Sedona's best interest at heart. And I think that both of you would approach it in a very different way.
Yes.
And I would hope that regardless of whoever does win, that there can still be some blending of intentionality blending of the people who are behind each of you. Because, you know, again, I have a number of people that I know. And I when I saw the people at the end of the debate at the Mary Fisher Theater, you know, there's a lot of senior citizens that were in that room, in that audience.
Yes.
And so I don't know how they perceive you.
Yeah,
you're
yeah.
certainly not a senior citizen. And one of the things that has also come up is how does Sedona attract people your age with children so that the community has a different demographic, that it's not just retired people that live here.
Right. Yeah.
So I know these are all, you know, there are so many problems that Sedona has: the traffic, the airport, the convention center at the airport, the noise, the pollution, and all of these. How can you create, you know, ways to mitigate these problems and keep everybody happy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and a large part of it is holding space, knowing that there are solutions, and that, you know, it's just like anything. When we have an intention in our life, and to scale it down just still on a personal level, we see the outcome that we want. And you know from manifesting and whatnot, law of attraction, you
yes,
don't
I do.
Need to know how to get there. Everyone wants to know the how right now. And the how can really keep you in the matrix and stop you from ever getting there, because they need that in order to be satiated, to believe that they might get the relief down the line. I already have the relief that there is a solution. How? Well, let's figure it out. That's gonna come to us. That's the process we're gonna be on the adventure of discovery for this whole time. So the roadmap is gonna change as we go about it, and it's gonna be adapting. We're gonna figure it out. But first you have to believe that it exists. And right now we just keep getting told over and over what's wrong and why it's wrong. I don't need that explanation. Let's all get on the same page that there is a solution, which I do believe that we're heading there. I believe that people are like, okay, this is the pollution, this the problem. We've heard it to not ad nauseum. Now let's like pivot and maybe be open ourselves up to a possible solution. But you keep hearing in the background, well, this is why it'll never work. We already tried this. It's like, shh, 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 hold on, you know, we got this. Hold on. It's a leap of faith. It's very abstract for many people who are three-dimensional thinkers. But, you know, I feel like I could be the conduit between those two realities of perception.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, let's see how much time we've got. Still 10 minutes. So what could you suggest that makes the distinction between, you know, and I almost feel like playing your 2-minute pitch at the end of that, at that debate.
Yeah.
And I noticed the reaction from the crowd was very positive.
It really was. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you get a chance to talk to people afterwards?
Yes. Allegedly 50% of the people who attended the debate were undecided. I don't know how they left, what their decision was when they left. So it was good to, I didn't know that going into it. And so I had heard when, you know, there were a lot of faces I didn't recognize. And so I assumed they were on the other side. I didn't really realize that there would be that many people who hadn't made up their minds yet. So when I heard that applause at the end, I was actually really surprised, because I was like, wait, oh my gosh. Well, that you heard me, you really heard what I was saying. And it wasn't just an allegiance to an individual. that you've already predetermined. So I was very surprised to hear that. I think people resonated with my passion and my point, which is, you know, this other individual, as well intended as he may be, he has been in office for 8 years.
Even though
he himself couldn't have possibly done anything in particular, potentially, this is what, you know, he's saying, and what the community agrees on is that, well, he's only one person, but you can stand up and speak and vote out of sync with what you disagree with, or in sync with what you agree with, out of sync with what the status quo is, to make a point, to advocate for. And so so essentially that's my essential wrap up point, is that experience is meaningless if there are no results. And the results don't necessarily mean moving the needle, but moving in terms of confidence that we can have in you. If that individual had advocated for our interests in a way that we all felt like, oh yeah, no one would even be running against him right now. Instead, there were four people running for mayor, you know? And to the newspaper's point, one of the first questions was, what should give the community the confidence that you are going to vote any different than the person they just voted out, which is our current mayor?
Oh.
And you know, that's it right there. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. And so back to my point is, you know, you've been there for 8 years. You've been there for 8 years. Nothing of significance has struck a chord in your behavior to your community that has built that confidence. And now through talk and a few, you know, half a year of, you know, now, okay, now I'm doing something. You know, I'm doing something now. Well, you were there for 8 years. If I committed my life 8 years to pursue something for, you know, whether it be a career or by 8 years, if I, you know, if I'd gone to Hollywood and for 8 years, you know, I might reflect a little bit on, and nothing occurred. You know, what am I doing wrong here? You know, I need some sort of tangible evidence of effectiveness. Otherwise, I need to reconfigure and approach it differently.
Let me see if I can actually play this last clip here. Hold on a second. I'm going to try.
We have 2 minutes.
It's this individual's policy and lack of backbone that has led us into the issues that we face. If you are working on / fighting for change, I'd hate to see the timeline of when that will inevitably or potentially show up. We need change now. We are in a crisis state, and it's because of the policies that have been voted in place by this individual and a collective consciousness on a council that thinks and sees things the same way. It's time for creativity. It's time for consciousness. It's time to have a spine and stand up for our city, to have the wherewithal to make choices that are out of the realm of what the state is defining. Can you imagine back in 2016, had we fought the state and said, no, we don't want your state shared tax revenue. We are the jewel of Arizona. You need us more than we need you. And had we fought back then, we wouldn't have been sitting here listening to this individual for 8 years lament about how he's potentially going to finally do something once he gets into office. Wake up call. You have been in office for 8 years. It is time for change now. And come November 8th, I please, if you care about Sedona at all, if you are willing to go into a new threshold of our community, of what it could potentially be, what it could possibly look like with balance and integrity and meaningful metrics and goals that actually reflect the interests of both the residents, the community, the businesses, and the tourist industry, please consider giving me your vote November 8th for mayor.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, it was a very passionate plea.
It was.
you know, a city crossing a threshold, I think was a word, a phrase I said, into a new way of operating in our local government with balance and integrity, with heart-centeredness and consciousness. And I don't think we've seen that in a long time. I think it existed at one point, and now it's a bit robotic in many ways, and it needs to be flooded with heart-centered consciousness. And a balance of you know, the wits and common sense and creative ideas. And
well, you got a big whistles and applause after you spoke. So you have you have a way of very authentically inspiring people, and I think that that has importance for people. Because we're, you know, everyone now is looking for leadership because the challenges we're all facing go far beyond what we could ever have imagined were something we'd have to face.
Yes, exactly.
And I laugh because I actually live on warrior rest.
Oh!
And I said, yeah, I understand I'm a warrior. I'd sure like a little rest.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for your time and your super thoughtful, wonderful questions. It's been such a pleasure getting to know you, and it's thank you for all that you do for our community.
Thank you. Yeah, well, I've been here a long time and had the privilege of, I wrote the biography of Bob Bradshaw.
Wow, and, I did not know that.
Yeah, and 5 books I worked with Bob for 5 years doing and looking after him at that time. So, yeah, I've been very involved with the threads of this community. That's and I'm really pleased to see someone like you stepping up. I think, you know, I know Scott Jablow is doing his best also from his perspective. And again, I certainly hope that blending the difficulty that we all face is that kind of angst that we have for the other side.
Right, right. Yeah, really, and you know, I feel like it's very possible. Obviously, there's going to be people who don't like me, you know, when I'm in there. Fortunately, there are people on council who, even though we don't agree, we have respect for one another. And that's really all that matters.
Yes, it does.
Yeah,
yes, it does. Yeah. Well, my dear, thank you so much for being on Wise Women.
Thank you all for watching. Thank you so much.
And we'll maybe try after, we'll see after the election.
Okay.
If we might reconvene and follow up on this journey and find out more about what the experience brought to all of us.
Perfect.
So with that, it's Kathleen Francis signing off on Wise Women, and have a wonderful and productive day. Thank you.
Thank you.
See more about Samira Armstrong and her platforms at SamiraArmstrongForMayor.com and follow her Facebook page at Armstrong Sedona Strong. Thank you for listening to another Wise Woman podcast on PRN.live.